I don't know why, but I was thinking about the fact that we have a jealous God. If this is an attribute of God, then I believe it's also an attribute of humans, because we are made in His image. I never really thought about it like that before, but it very well could be that because we are made in His image, we have a lot of the same attributes as He. Now, that doesn't stretch all the way around the earth, but it is true in certain areas, and I think this is one of them. However, like all things that are given to human beings as good gifts from God, we quite often pervert them. People whose God is their belly, as the scriptures say, they pervert the desire and the appetite for food. Same thing could be said about a lot of things. I won't go into all that, but there are lots of examples of ungodly jealousy around us. We see them and we might be tempted to say that that's the way God is, but that's the problem, is that jealousy from God is different than jealousy from people. But we do see all kinds of ungodly examples of jealousy. Even animals display it as they vie for affection with pack leaders or humans. People certainly display it in lots of ways. Jealousy in humans is not perfect like it is in God. God's jealousy, for example, doesn't arise from feelings of inadequacy. And God's jealousy doesn't stem from thinking that there are no other alternatives or objects who love Him or could be receivers of His love. I have seen jealousy be uncontrollable in some people. Now, you might say, well, yeah, they could always control it, but I guess what I mean to say is jealousy is often out of control. Jealousy can be so intense that people become irrational on the basis of it. I've seen examples of jealousy out of control. I saw a young man smash a windshield from the inside of his car with his fist out of rage and jealousy over a girlfriend who was going out with somebody else and not him at the time. He did some other crazy things that night that just are unbelievable, and that was all part of the jealousy that he felt. I watched two grown men fighting in a living room, knocking down chairs and couches and lamps and all kinds of stuff. It was like two titans vying for the affection of another human being, a woman, in fact. And as a child, it was really impressive in the fact that I just never have forgotten about it. But what does the Bible say about jealousy? Because it's mentioned considerable amount of times in the Bible that God is a jealous God. Now, the word for jealousy in both, I think you need to know, is not the same in the Old Testament and New Testament, but the ideas are the same. In classic Greek, zealous, which is the word that's translated jealousy. And by the way, it can be translated jealousy or zealot or zealousy. Zealous, whatever form, you know, you want it to be in. It denotes an emotional going out to a person, an idea, or a cause, according to the New International Dictionary of the New Testament Theology. They go on to say, where the goal is good, it means eager striving, competition, enthusiasm, and even praise, comma, glory. Where the goal is bad, it means jealousy, ill will, envy. Accordingly, zealotes can denote a person seeking to reach good goals or a jealous, envious individual. Likewise, zelao can mean to be zealous or even jealous. I looked it up, and my survey of the word only came up with 62 places where the Bible, Old and New Testament, has the word jealous. But then when I went to the word zealous, because, like I say, it's translated two different ways, you come up with another 7 times. And I don't know, I need to look it up in both of the actual languages to find out how many times, but when you just change the first letter of the word and put an asterisk behind it, you change it from zealous to jealous. The asterisk is one of those, what do they call it, universal signs that helps in a search that tells you, that looks for any ending beyond the letters that you put there. So I don't know if that makes sense to you. It doesn't need to necessarily, but 62 plus 7 is what you come up with. So the word group is in classical Greek and Old Testament is found mostly in the later portions of the Septuagint, where it also means, or it often rather means, a zeal directed to God or passionate readiness for service controlled by God's will or the law. Now, more frequent are these passages that speak of God's zeal. In Exodus 20, verse 5, for example, you have this text, you shall not bow down to them, that would be idols, or serve them, or other gods, actually. For I, the Lord, your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me. So that is jealousy in the sense that you and I know it, where God is jealous for his people, and not necessarily jealous of the other gods, but that means that he's zealous for his people. That means that he won't allow his people to go off toward other gods, even though he knows that they are not other gods. But, you know, he's talking to people and using language that speaks to their comprehension. So God will punish that kind of betrayal when they're supposed to be his people. He redeemed them. He bought them out of Egypt. and they turn to other gods instead of turning to him, he will punish that. That's what Exodus 20 verse 5 says. So he displays a zealousy and slash jealousy against, I mean, for his people, but against other nations. You can see these kinds of things in 2 Kings 19:31. For out of Jerusalem shall go a remnant, and out of Mount Zion a band of survivors. The zeal of the Lord will do this. Isaiah 9:7, really well-known passage, of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from time this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Ezekiel, where you see a lot of this word jealousy or zealous, from there comes this example. Therefore prophesy, Ezekiel 36:6. Therefore prophesy concerning the land of Israel and say to the mountains and hills, to the ravines and valleys, thus says the Lord God, behold, I have spoken in my jealous wrath, because you have suffered the reproach of nations. And then again in Ezekiel 38:19, for in my jealousy and in my blazing wrath I declare, on that day there shall be a great earthquake in the land of Israel. But he also shows his zealousness when Israel becomes unfaithful, which is often presented as adultery. And that's a real parallel with what we know as jealousy in the, call it the human world, the way that we manifest it. It's quite often seen as unfaithfulness, or it shows its face in the face of unfaithfulness. So the problem is that the people of the Old Testament, the rabbis, are hesitant to speak of God's zeal or his jealousy because they don't like what that could mean or what that could signify, because people automatically go toward the idea of a jealous husband or a jealous boyfriend or something along those lines. In fact, I've been told that in some states, I never have looked this up, but it was something that I was told, I'm sure, that I was told this at an earlier age, that if a husband found his wife with her lover, not her husband, the husband could be justified, I think, legally and in a court scenario, or perhaps let off if he should kill that other man. Now, again, I don't know, but that's ugly, isn't it? And that's the ugly side of jealousy. And people are pretty, they know about this. They're pretty well-versed in that. They've experienced it themselves. So this is what the rabbis and the, just the rabbis would shy away from. I think I have even had some problems with the idea of a jealous God when I compared or thought about that jealousy in terms of something I already knew, about human beings and how awful it looks. And it does. It looks awful. It's a really, I don't know, negative part of human beings. Anyhow, the word zealous occurs in the New Testament too, various forms, both good and bad senses of the word. You can find the bad sense of jealousy you could find in Acts 7:9, or recalls what happened in Genesis. It says, "And the patriarchs, jealous of Joseph, sold him into Egypt, but God was with him." Their jealousy takes on a really negative connotation. You see it in the high priests and Sadducees and those folks. Acts 5:17 says, "But the high priest rose up, and all who were with him," that is, of the party of the Sadducees, "and filled with jealousy." Another example in Acts 13:45, "When the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and began to contradict what was spoken by Paul, reviling him." Acts 17:5, "But the Jews were jealous, taking some wicked men of the rabble, and they formed a mob, set the city in an uproar, and attacked the house of Jason, seeking to bring them out to the crowd." You see it in individuals in those examples, but it can also be said of a church. 1 Corinthians 3:3, "For you are still of the flesh, for while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way?" I think these are all going to be ESV. Yeah, ESV quotes, sorry. 2 Corinthians 12:20, "For I fear that perhaps when I come, I may find you not as I wish, and that you may find me not as you wish, that perhaps there may be quarreling, jealousy, anger, hostility, slander, gossip, conceit, and disorder." So there in a list of things you see the word jealousy. James 3:16 has another negative example, "For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice." So jealousy is a catalyst for all kinds of things negative. Christians aren't supposed to show jealousy, but they're supposed to walk by the Spirit. Love the passage of Galatians 5:16, "But I say, walk by the Spirit." And I always say, walk by means of the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. And here in Galatians 5:20, right on the heels of that, you have this list of acts of the flesh, deeds of the flesh: idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, and divisions. This is not dealing lovingly with someone. It's dealing in a way that you think you're going to satisfy your jealousies. That would be selfishly. Romans 13:13 says, "Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality, sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy." These are things said to believers, and you have to deal with that. Anyhow, the New Testament also is very critical toward Jewish zeal for the law. Romans 10:2, "For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge." Paul rejects his own earlier zealousness for the traditions of his fathers. Galatians 1:14, and I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people, and so extremely zealous was I for the traditions of my fathers. I guess we could go on. But those are the things that caused him to be a persecutor of the church. He was indeed that, and he was indeed zealous in doing so. A few more minutes if you can hang on. If not, listen to this in two parts. But zeal, jealousy, is not itself rejected. There's a good side to it. That's the part we forget about. In 2 Corinthians 7:11, it says, "Foresee what earnestness this godly grief has produced in you, but also what eagerness to clear yourselves, what indignation, what fear, what longing, what zeal," there's the word, "what punishment. At every point, you have proved yourselves innocent in the matter." He calls for us to be zealous for our service to Christ. Titus 2:14, "who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, who are zealous for good works." Their missionary zeal is great. Man, we all need more of that. It's always good, Galatians 4:18 says, to be made much of for a good purpose, and not only when I am present with you. For I feel, 2 Corinthians 11:2, a divine jealousy for you, since I betrothed you to one husband, to present you as a pure virgin to Christ. We are to eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit, which are used in a love that's free from jealousy. 1 Corinthians 13:4. Love is patient, kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant. Positive zeal for the welfare of others is encouraged. 2 Corinthians 7:7 and 9:2. For doing what's right. And 1 Peter 3:13. Now, just as a caveat and end this, there was a disciple named Simon who was a zealotes, who presumably, we don't know absolutely, but because he's called that, it seems like it's so, to have been a zealot. He's likely the same one as Simon the Canaan, where that is seen, people will think that Jesus endorsed the movement of the zealotes, which was an act of resistance against Rome, but that goes against the evidence. Jesus taught that we should pay to Caesar what is Caesar's. That repudiates a zealous or a zealot ideal. And he also has a different attitude toward the Sabbath and the ceremonial washings. So that's a little bit of a survey on this idea of jealousy and God being jealous. I don't think we've really scratched the surface. I don't know if I'll go into it any more so, but I just wanted to share what I have shared with you today. So until we see each other again, perhaps this Sunday, hopefully this Sunday, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Shalom.